SaaS Open Mic is brought to you by ChartMogul. SaaS startups like Typeform, Pipedrive, and Instapage use ChartMogul to centralize and analyze their subscription billing and customer data. Go to chartmogul.com and sign up for a free trial today. And if you're just starting out, ChartMogul is free for businesses with less than $10,000 in monthly recurring revenue. That's chartmogul.com for a free trial. Welcome to SaaS Open Mic by ChartMogul. I'm Ed Shelley. If you've ever thought about bootstrapping your own side project to meaningful revenue and scale, this episode is for you. Today, I'm talking to Maxime Bertolo of Buffer and PixelMe. PixelMe was conceived next to a pool in Bali, but this is not a digital nomad story. Both founders are based in France. In fact, Maxime didn't even quit his day job as product manager of growth at Buffer. Yet, the pair have managed to validate their concept and reach $5,000 in monthly recurring revenue. In this chat, I spoke with Max about a number of things, including how he validated his product without writing any code, how he hacked his way to those first few customers, and about the radical transparency at both Buffer and how that's influenced him at PixelMe. And then finally, how he manages to balance his time on his side project at PixelMe with his primary job at Buffer. There's a lot more in this conversation, so let's dig in. So Max, thank you so much for chatting to me. It's really great to talk to you. I've been wanting to chat for a number of months now, so I'm really glad that you could make it here and join me on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm super excited to be on that podcast, especially because I'm a big fan of ChartMogul. So yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I've seen over the last months a lot of your experience of building PixelMe that you're sharing very transparently. I think that's amazing. But I would love to kind of start with a little bit about who you are. To me, you come across as what I would call like a product guy, yeah. But I know that's not really an official term. So what do you call yourself and what would you say that you do?
Okay. So yeah, I think that's a pretty good terms to, I see myself like more product person, which was like a really interested in like building new stuff. So I work at Buffer as the product manager, especially working on growth stuff at Buffer. And I also like always like curious about like new things and like building new products. I had my like startups before Buffer. So it's like for me and a good idea to like working on like some side things. And one of the side things is like PixelMe, which is like growing pretty good in the past weeks and months. So I call myself like a sort of like a product guy. Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, so there's definitely a number of things there that I would love to unpack a little bit. I'm really interested in your experience with Buffer, though. I think Buffer is a SaaS company that's very interesting, partly because a lot of what happens at Buffer is shared very publicly. So you've been there, I think, a number of years now, right?
Yes. I've been there for 3 years now.
Okay. I think that Buffer's culture is very... seems to be very public, but what's your experience from the inside about the culture there?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we like at Buffer, we had like quite a few like values that are really important to us. And one of them is like the transparency. And we like sort of like radical transparency is in our DNA, I would say that. So from the inside, I think that's exactly what you guys can see from the outside is like the radical transparency is like from everything we're doing at Buffer, from like internal communication, like email are transparent among the team. Like we always share like almost like 80% of our emails like on like a certain list, and like so we can access to those emails. Even like the communication between Joel and some of the VCs are like transparent, we can access to that. So it's like it's really really important for us. So like we all almost share everything transparently among all the people in the team. And like, I think my biggest learning at Buffer is like around like that path, like the transparency, and also like from a product perspective, I would say like all the things about like customer research and like talking about customers and like do stuff like that. So we can definitely dig into that later if you want. But yeah, that's my, I think, I have been really like amazed and in love with like that culture at Buffer, which made me like the person I am today. So yeah, so definitely it's a huge thing.
I think to the outside world, there's a lot of questions that people have when they look at the way that Buffer is so transparent, and especially with things like sharing email and all of these things. There's clearly a lot of information there that's shared with the whole team. How does that scale?
That's a really good question. We that's a question we are trying to answer every single day at Buffer. I mean, for that is like we don't have a clear answer to that. So everybody at Buffer do things like a little bit differently. So some of the people are like maybe more organized in terms of like being like focused on like stuff that they really want to know at Buffer. Some of the people have as like a wider approach of like just like reading all the emails and like trying to stay on top of like all the stuff that's happening in like different Slack rooms and stuff like that. I would say it's like we have some guidelines. We use some tools like to email list and stuff to filter like all the noise and all the things that might interesting less for you. Yeah, so things like that. But like I would say that every person do it differently at Buffer. We still haven't found like solved that issue maybe yet, and we still like having this like personal approach of like filtering the noise and like being like organized with like all the things you can like definitely access to every day.
Yeah, I think, if you solve that, that's definitely something that you guys should write about, because yeah. I guess there's a lot of other companies out there trying to solve the same thing.
Yeah, totally.
let's talk about PixelMe. Yeah. So PixelMe is a side project for you and Tom, your co-founder, right?
Yes, exactly. So yeah, totally. Yeah.
How did you get started with that? Like how, like obviously, if we fast forward a little bit to today, you guys have pretty significant revenue for a small side project. So, as a SaaS product.
Yeah.
So if we go all the way back to the beginning, like how did you get started with that?
So the good news is like we just passed 5,000 in MRR today, which wow. is a good day.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So which is like a really good day. So we're three now. Jeremy is like the engineer working on PixelMe. So Tom, Jeremy and I. So Tom and I, we met a couple of years ago, and we both had like two different like project startups things, and we both made a ton of mistakes, and like we learned through like the different journey we had with those like different like startups, and we both had like a common vision of like, okay, the next time we want to do something, we really want to do something like fully bootstrapped, like no VCs, like don't think too much about like focusing, like really focusing on like the users, the product, and the value we deliver to like those users, rather than like trying to like raise any like funds and stuff like that. I don't say like VC are useless. Definitely not my ideas and my point, but I definitely feel like we really wanted to have like something like maybe like closer to like what you guys building, like what like Buffer has done and stuff, like trying to like fully bootstrap a product. So that was really something that's make us like I would say like make us reunited with Tom, and we were like really sharing that vision. He's working on growth, I'm working on product, more on product growth than growth, so he's more on the acquisition side of things. So we are both like a lot like having this like complementary vision of like things on SaaS product. So we had like very long discussion, and we really wanted to like, because like sometimes, you know, you always like advise your friends or people around you like, oh, you should do that. You should do that based on your own experience, but you never succeeded with like anything by your own. So it's easy to say like, oh, you should do that, but you never applied that to yourself. So, we wanted to like, experiment some ideas and do stuff together. And at some point we were like in Bali like last year, and we were talking about like a few ideas we had, and like that idea came up like again. Thomas, this idea of like the core product of PixelMe, which is like adding a retargeting pixel in an URL. And so I was like not really like too aware of like what's like the ads market and all the things that happen in this market, and like what's the people doing with like ads and stuff. So we was not really good with that. And so just we ended up like, okay, maybe let's do like something and like try to like do a landing page or try to get some signups and see like if people are interested by at least the value proposition. And let's see if we, if it's like works, then maybe we're going to have to build something. And that's how we started.
I have this vision of you guys there. It's kind of a cliche, right? Like two guys sitting by a pool in Bali, like hacking on some landing page for something that they didn't even build yet.
Yeah, that's totally a cliche.
Is that actually how it happened?
Yeah, it's totally actually how it happened. It's that's so funny because it's a really, really how it happened. It's like we were really like, so the we were in vacation, so we were not supposed to talk about like all the things about like SaaS product and stuff, but that's how we are. It's like Tom and I, like every time we're in the same room, like we're talking about growth and like a product and like, oh, have you seen this new product? It's amazing. Or have you seen those guys, what they're doing and stuff? So yeah, we were exactly like that, but like in front of like the jungle in Bali with next to a pool. So it was really cool. So yeah.
Yeah, it sounds inspiring. So okay, yeah. you get to the decision to this is something you're actually going to work on. What are the like very first things that you do to start to at least explore this idea?
So yeah, the very first thing we did was like trying to explain like the idea maybe in an easy way. We started to like just like build a landing page and say, okay, the goal for us is like we put that landing page together. We like have a sign up like form or something like that. And at least people, we know that's like many people did that, but we're trying to pretend that like the product exists today and like people will sign up for the product rather than like signing up for like a beta or like whatever. So we just really want to like validate that people could be interested by the value proposition. So if they saw the landing page, are they going to sign up to that product, and are they really excited about like signing up for the product and getting the product and stuff? So that was really the first step we wanted to achieve. We did that first, and like,
and that was like a bet, right? I remember reading your blog post about this. There was something like you decided that if you would get like 10 signups or more, then you had to build a prototype or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was totally a bet. So because I really like, so I really didn't know that market and the value proposition really well. So I was really skeptical at this time. And I was like, you're talking about this product, like this idea of like retargeting pixel in any URL and stuff, but I don't really know if like people would like use that product, sort of product. So I was like, okay, then if we get like 10 signups, maybe that means that there's something, we get something, and maybe we should at least try to build a product, or at least, well, maybe pretend we have a product and see like if we can like sell a product to anyone in the world. And like that was the like the next step after the landing page.
How did you get those signups? So from what I understand, you got a lot more than 10, right?
Oh yeah.
How did you get those?
So what we did was like, I think the first things we did was like sharing the landing page with like people we know. Tom has a pretty like, he was working on like, say, SaaS Invaders before like his like past startup was like SaaS Invader. So it was like deal for it's a sort of AppSumo. So it was like a really new, like everybody in the SaaS ecosystem. So he had like this, like, really cool, like, network. So we shared that with as much as people as possible. And I shared that as well. We did also like a little bit of like sharing the landing page on like some like a Reddit like post and like a, our startup. I think that there's like a startup like thread in Reddit. We also, did some like Facebook ads, super targeted Facebook ads on like type of people we were thinking that could be the target market. We also had a waiting list like features. So it means that like people were signing up and they were like putting in the waiting list. And like if they would share like that with at least 3 person, they would like skip the waiting list.
So, do you think that was a success, the waiting list thing?
Yeah, because I think that was really a success. I mean, in terms of like, it's pretty tricky because I think like it's hard to ask people to share a product they never had access to. So it's like, usually my thinking is like, why would someone like share that product without knowing what is the product and without like never use the product? But in that case, so Tom told me, I think we should do that. It's like pretty interesting in terms of like viral stuff and like word of mouth and stuff like that, and we want to validate. So actually, like, the idea was like validate like people would want to share that product with their, like, how much people would want to have access to that product. So that was the idea.
Many of the founders I talk to spend hours logging into different applications or poring over Excel sheets to understand the health of their SaaS business and get to the root of issues like churn. ChartMogul connects with your subscription billing provider, automatically calculates your key metrics, and turns them into investor-ready reports. As a result, founders can spend less time on reporting and more time focusing on growth. Start your free trial today at chartmogul.com. Was there like a single point throughout this process where you took a look at the numbers and you were like, whoa, okay, like this is something we need to really do?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. When I look at the so the first few hours were like pretty silence, I think. And after, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 days, we started to see like something very cool happening. Was like there was like signups, and then like people were sharing the tool with their list of friends. And then we started to see like some people coming from those invites signing up. So it was like, wow, like we were like, okay, so 30, 80, 50, 60, 80, 100. And then like we passed like the 300, I think, at some point. And it was like, the good thing was like, when I look at the data, it was like, it was 30 or 35% of like, all the signups were coming from those invites. So it was a good validation for me. Like, okay, we have a third of like our signup users come from like invitation. So yeah.
It's very shareable. There's almost like a small viral effect there.
Yeah, exactly. So I was convinced that we had to do something. So because I went to like the buffer school, and like I really believe in like customer research. So we did some customer research after that. So just to cross validate all the value proposition and the signups. So yeah.
So that was that customer research, like talking to those initial signups that you got, or how did you run that?
Both. So it was like two different things. Like we started to talk to like all the signups users. So it was pretty interesting. We learned like quite a few things from them, from those people, and like why they signed up to the tool and what was really interesting to them, and like what's the problem they had and what they tried to solve and stuff like that. And then we tried to find like to set up some calls. So I think I did like 10 or 15 calls with like some like marketing directors or like growth people, and like all the people we thought were in our target market, and just like having some like random calls like on like, okay, what you're doing today, what's your problem, do you do ads, paid marketing, what is your problem with paid marketing, and like how do you try to achieve that, and blah blah blah. And like that was like this sort of like customer research. And at the end I was like just sharing the idea of like PixelMe and like see how people react. I think in most case, people were understanding the value, and there was like case where like people would definitely not use that product because like they were not in that specific use case we thought. And some of the people were really excited. And at the end of that, we had like, I don't know, maybe like 5-6 person from the 10-15 calls who were really like excited and really wanted to like test the product. Plus all the signups we had, we were like, okay, we need to do something.
Yeah. So now you've really got to build it.
Yeah.
And there's obviously a lot of things that happen between this point and revenue. Yeah. I don't know. Could you just quickly summarize that process? Because I think it's so often like people building prototypes or side projects, and it feels like such a long way to go from building a small project to actually being able to earn revenue from something.
Yeah, totally. I think that was in our DNA as well with Tom, was like, we really wanted to like, don't do the same mistakes we did in the past, like working on something for months and like saying, oh, we need to add these features or add these features. And then the paying customers will come on like, oh, this person told me, if we build that, they're going to buy the product and stuff, but they never buy the product in the end. So that's literally something we wanted to avoid. So we really wanted to have like paying customers from day one. And I was really inspired. Like you have like Joel wrote like a blog post on like how he came up with like his first paying customers, like Joel at Buffer, in 6 weeks. And it was super like, for me, this blog post was like, boom, like, okay. I read that after my first startups and I was like, okay, this is really how I want to build something the next time. And, so that's how we really wanted to like, do something with like, Pixelme. Tom and I, we were not like engineers, so we were not like able to build a product, even though like we saw some signs and some good signs of like validation and stuff, like people who wanted to really use the product. We didn't have the validation of like, are they, would they want to pay for that product and would they want to use that product on like after like a couple of days and stuff. So the idea was like, there's like this like program, like do things that don't scale, famous like quotes. And we thought about that and we were like, okay, maybe we could do something before like actually find someone to build a product. Maybe we could do something. So I started to do some research and to see like how we could build like a URL shortener. And I found some like interesting stuff was like, there was like some like WordPress plugin. So we put together some WordPress plugin and we like did like build Pixelme, with that. And we like among the, like the six, user who were like really excited about the product, we asked them, okay, so we're going to do something. You're going to give us like your list of like URL you would love to shorten and you're going to give us like your pixel ID and like your retargeting pixel ID. And I'm going to make the shortened links for you. And then you're going to see like if you are like want to use it, if it's like working, if you see your custom audience like growing and stuff like that. So we did that. That was like pretty manual process. It was really long. Like one of the users shared like, I don't know, 50 links or like something like that. So it was like pretty like manual and boring stuff.
Right. So at this stage, you're still not really writing any code here. It's all just like something that you're able to piece together with other systems and.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like CSV, like Excel file, CSV, like WordPress plugin, put the script in a page and then like use like a sort of like redirect plugin for WordPress and like shorten the links and then put that into like blah, blah, blah. And like, yeah, that was like, there was three steps in a row that I had to do and then like copy paste the link to like the CSV again and then share the CSV with the guy.
Wow. So you're really like living the Paul Graham manifesto here.
Yeah.
how did you, I mean, obviously this is something that couldn't last forever. So how did you move from there to actually building something software wise?
Yeah. So that was like the validation for us was like, we shared that with like the users and then like the day after or something like that, we like just received an email from those users like asking to like shorten new links. And we were okay. So I just like spent my 2 hours yesterday to shorten like 50 links and now those users want more. So we were like, okay, we need to build something. We can't do like manually like do all these tests for those users. We just ask them if I shorten like mornings for you, would you be up for like paying for that product? And with, how do you feel, like, et cetera, et cetera. So those people were like, yeah, I would definitely want to pay for the product. If you can, like, if I can have like a product and I can shorten by myself and stuff, I would definitely pay for that. The idea was, yeah, the next step was build the product.
Right, right. And then of course there is the huge question of pricing. How did you get to a price point? Because I know that this is such a hard question when you're starting out, because there's basically zero data on what customers are willing to pay, or, you know, how sensitive they are to pricing.
Totally. So good question. So the first pricing was a mix of like what we would, what do we think we would like pay for that product, and a little bit of like research on like what the competitors do, what's the price, who are the closest competitors to PixelMe, and what their pricing, and like stuff like that. So so the first pricing was like, we came up with like that pricing, and we saw like the first two paying customers, we had the first two paying customers after like just like inviting them to the beta, like in August, I think it was back in the day in August. And it was a couple of days after like sharing the product with them. And yeah, we saw people paying for that. So it was pretty cool. And then we changed a little bit the pricing a couple of like, 2 months later, we changed the pricing, and like a couple of weeks ago, we changed the pricing again. So, right. But yeah.
So I'm gonna guess here. What was it, too cheap in the beginning?
Yeah, no. I mean, it wasn't too cheap. Tom was like afraid of like it was too expensive, and so we changed the pricing in a way that we like added like a new like a $10 price plan. And yeah, so that's the reason why we added like a plan after that. But it was like $29, I think, the first pricing. And like we saw some people like signing up during the trial and never converting, and we thought maybe if we add like less expensive plan, maybe we're gonna see like more conversion. So yeah.
And then I think in 5 months, got to like 3,000 monthly recurring revenue.
Yeah, exactly. And now we are like...
Now you're at 5K.
Yes. I'm just counting the month. So it's eight months. Yeah, we're 8 months, and like it's like 5K. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And so the reason I'm able to look at all of this is because I just go to your Twitter and it's all there, right? Like you're sharing, you're very vocal about sharing metrics, whether it's revenue or NPS or churn. I've seen a lot of things there. So a lot of this is like pretty clear that it's inspired a lot from Buffer. Was that a conscious decision you took with PixelMe, that you wanted to build this thing in the open?
Yeah, so totally. First I'm working at Buffer, and and like transparency is like a very like important stuff for us. So I really like, I'm not like even like working for at Buffer and just like being in that trend. I really, really, really believe in like transparency. And I really think like that's a really good thing for like business in general. And I really don't understand like when people try to hide their metrics, and like when you ask question, how much revenue do you do today? And they never answers, and I can't say, blah, blah, blah. So I don't really understand that point. So the transparency is something we really believe. And Tom is also really like aligned with that things, and which is really cool. He's even like more like, I would say, transparent than me in a way, because like he really keen, like we both like we're struggling a little bit to find data on the SaaS market, on like when a startup starts like from 0 to 10 or from 0 to like whatever, seeing like all the steps and like all the metrics, and like how much like visitors did you get on like your web page, and like how much signups did you get, and how much trial did you get, and like stuff like that. So we really wanted to like be totally transparent on those metrics, because we thought maybe we could like help other people at least because it's like super, like when you start, it's super like stressful to like, you always want to like compare to some people and say, okay, are we doing good things? Are we doing bad things? Is it like, is it normal that we have only like 4% of like visitors to sign up conversion rate? Is it something that everybody has? Like what's the best people do, in terms of metrics? Like, I mean, like Intercom, what are their like visitors to sign up conversion rate or like stuff like that? So that's the question you ask yourself at the beginning, and we really wanted to like share publicly and openly all these metrics in order to like maybe help people and like be like transparent.
Yeah, and it seems to me like there is kind of a movement right now of people building bootstrapped businesses. A lot of them are SaaS, completely in the open, transparently, without any funding. What do you think is causing this? Like, why is now the right time for people to do this?
I don't know if it's... So I'm really happy about that. And I'm really excited also to be part of that movement. And I agree with you. There's a, like a movement. Like, I've been to like SaaS Talk in Dublin last year. And it was like all about like bootstrap business and like people talking about how they did like 0 to 20, 0 to 10, 0 to 100 and whatever. So it was super inspiring. I think I'm really excited about that, and I really think it's good for like all the startup worlds and all the SaaS business, because I guess my understanding is like maybe we've been like, it's like a little bit of like the normal like curve of like the graph, you know, you go through like a lot of like everybody wants to build a startup, so there's a ton of like thousands of people starting to create apps, and like we were at some point in back in the day, we were only talking about like, hey, how much did you raise, how much did you like what was your Serie A, your Serie B, and like whatever. And like people were not talking about their product actually. They were talking about like, oh, congratulations, you did that, you raised that amount of money. So I guess like we've like seen like quite a few like startups failing. We've seen some like big names like failed in the past year. Also, I think there's like when you have friends like that did like that had like startups and like raised money, it's a completely different story after raising and after having VCs in your boards. So there's more and more people that dream about like, because the dream of like building your own startup is like always like be like, have like, be more flexible with your time and like decide whatever you want to do and stuff. But the reality is like sometimes different when you get some VCs on board. So yeah, I guess like all these parameters for me is like maybe the reason why today we're seeing more and more people that really want to bootstrap their business, because like, I mean, like back in the day when you open a bakery or a restaurant, there was never ever a way for you to raise like a Serie A or Serie B or like to build that things. There was like only one way, was like getting customers and sell the product. I mean, in a way, it's a good thing.
Definitely, definitely. I guess in a way you guys are not quite following the stereotype here, in that you're not still there in Bali sitting by a pool or in a co-working space building this thing. So
no.
You have a day job. I struggle to understand how you have enough hours in the day to build this thing and to also do your job at Buffer. So yeah, let's be real here. How on earth do you balance that?
That's pretty tough. So the thing is, like, Tom is now full-time on Pixelme. So since like a couple of months now, which is like a really good thing. So we can focus on like most of the job on Pixelme. And I can just like be there for helping him like on like support sometimes at the end of the day, during the weekend, or like sometimes during the day, for sure. I guess it's a matter of like a little bit of matter of organization on excitement. It's not the easy because sometimes it's hard to like pass from like one like project to another. But usually what I do is like waking up earlier and like start working on Pixelme for like 1 or 2 hours, and then I switch to Buffer. And so I do my day, and I do all the things I have to do on Buffer, and then like I do like whatever, like sports and stuff like that, gyms or whatever. And then sometimes during the evening or like, I just like work back on like peaks on me. It could be like, I'm trying to balance the two. So I'm either like working like sometimes on like buffer, sometimes on peaks on me. And like, it's like, I'm trying to like organize my my priorities a little bit weekly on a weekly basis. So yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think there's a lot of other people out there who find this attractive, like the prospect of building something. They see all these other influencers doing a similar journey today. What would be like the biggest thing that you say to people that are thinking about starting a side project or trying to bootstrap a company? Is there anything that you think is kind of misunderstood about that, or things that maybe you didn't know going into it?
For me personally, because I had my another startups before, I would say that I was pretty aware of like what I was supposed to expect in terms of like bandwidth and like work and like all the things like that. So I didn't really had any surprise after like creating Pixelme. I would say like you just have to think about like what do you really want to achieve with like a side project. So my ideas like last year was like, okay, I'm really inspired by all the things, all the people that's out there, like they try to have like multiple revenue streams. And like, I really wanted to like have like be a sort of people that can like not rely 100% on buffer, but have like multiple like revenue streams. And I don't think SaaS, building a SaaS and like is the easiest way. There's like multiple other like way to like have another revenue streams that's easier than.
It's not really passive income, right? Like it takes a lot of input.
Yeah, totally. So that's the thing. But also my idea with the side project was like, okay, I really want to have something. I'm PM growth, like, most of like the time at Buffer, but there's also like all these ideas I would love to experiment, to test and to do. And I can't really, because we have like this like huge product now with this huge community, and we can't like change like, anything in like just a second and stuff like that. So I really wanted to have that, like a sort of like laboratory for me to be able to experiment some ideas and like to do my own like experience with stuff. So I think that's the reason why we started like Pixelme. If like you think about like all the people that do have a side project and start building like companies or like product as a side project, I think, you have to think about like what's the reason, like what is the reason, like why do you want to do that? And like, do you really, like if it's like a reason for revenue, maybe you should think about something else. Is it something that's because you're excited about building a product and like having some like user using your old product? So then that might be like a good enough reason to like just start and test. And my biggest advice would be like, don't think too much. And just go and just test and just do it, because it's like super. I mean, even though you would then be like successful with the product and you would never have any like paying customers or whatever, I would say like all the things you're gonna learn, all the path you're gonna go through, and like it's gonna be super rewarding in terms of like experience, learnings and stuff. So I would say like, if you want to, just start, just do it and try, and you'll never regret it. So
the Nike approach, I like it.
Yeah. I don't know if this is it. Yeah,
maybe they'll sponsor this episode. I think that's great advice. It's really refreshing to just get the opinion of somebody who's really deep into this. I think there's a lot of kind of sensationalized stuff in this space with bootstrappers. Kind of they make the whole thing look very sexy and appealing, but I think there's a lot of realities that people have to think about too. Is there anybody out there that kind of inspires you in terms of either companies or individuals or kind of makers? Who do you look to when you want to get inspired?
So The first, that's good. I think the first people I'm really inspired by would be like, all the people that do like, that started this like transparency and bootstrap movement. So I'm thinking a lot about Joel at from Buffer, which is like a really, really huge inspiration to me. I really like the Email Hunter team as well. It's like the, how they build their product is really interesting. Zapier and like all the people that's like Chartmogul is like one of them for sure. I'm really keen to inspired by all these people that's like really want to like build a company, a product, like a service that's are useful to their users and like really focus on their users rather than like building something sensational and like as you said and like trying to like all these like big unicorns and stuff. So Basecamp is like something really interesting as well. MailChimp is like incredible. So all these people are really inspiring for me.
Awesome, Max, this has been really cool to chat to you. I think there's so much knowledge here that people will find useful, so thank you so much for sharing it.
Thank you.
where can people find out more about Pixelme, or where can they follow you if they want to take a look at your metrics?
Yeah, so we have a Medium. So it's medium.com/pixelme, I think, at Pixelme. So we share like our journeys. Also, we have a blog, pixelme.me/blog, and we share everything transparently, and also on Twitter, so at Pixelme or at Max Bertolo. It's my Twitter.
Awesome. Thanks again, Max. It's been great to chat.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ed. Yeah, it was really nice to chat.